The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Second and 12 at the 25. McKee throws a slant at the 20. There's no defender in sight. This is going to be run into the end zone easily by Devontae Smith. Nobody somehow was covering Devontae Smith.
Let's assume Mike McCarthy is back, as that seems to be where it's heading. Who else should come back?
I did not think you were going to say this publicly, what you heard over the weekend, but that is why you are a Cowboys insider. When you put it in the email, I said, green light.
I do think the more you talk to people, it feels like everybody's sense around the team is like he's going to be back. And not like any sort of like, yeah, I guess he's back. They're like, yeah, just objectively. Sense everybody.
There's no other noise happening.
No. And maybe the silence is all they're reading there. Maybe they've gotten an inclination from Mike. Maybe they've gotten an inclination from the Joneses. Don't know the context of it, but I just know the sense from people is he's going to be back. And not just like a, well, it's kind of 50-50. Nick Eatman came on with us on Friday. You remember he said a couple weeks ago under 50%? Nick, when he came on with us the other day, he said 65% he's back. So Nick was starting to move on it.
And
too.
What are you now after you doubled such a bold move by you going from 1% to 2% that he's coming back? Now what are you?
70.
Whoa!
Something like that.
70.
I mean, I'll leave it open because, I mean, they got shellacked yesterday. Do they get completely embarrassed next week? Does that somehow change it? I don't know. Like, but, I mean, it definitely does feel like that's where it's heading. And you talk to people who... Nobody has an awareness of what are they going to do. Nobody knows that plan other than the Joneses. And the Joneses would probably tell you, we haven't made any decisions, so nobody knows what we're going to do. But really, just the Joneses would probably be the only ones who know their plans for how they're approaching McCarthy and where they're leaning. And so everybody's just kind of reading tea leaves around the star or around their conversations and different things like that. But the sense seems to be... I haven't talked to anybody in the last week who, when I've asked them, where do you think this is heading... I haven't talked to anyone who has said they think he's out. Everyone has said, even if they're like, I'm leaning this way, or no, I definitely think he's back. Everybody is saying to some extent, I think he's back. So now the question becomes, 2-year deal? 3-year deal? Are you back as the offensive coordinator? If you're not back, or who's hiring the coordinator? Is it you? Is it, like, there's a bunch of different questions there. But everybody pretty much is out of contract on the coaching staff. There may be... I don't want to say which one I think it is because I don't know with certainty. I think there may be one coach on the staff who is under contract past this year. But it does make you look at, okay, where are some areas where you might see the Cowboys make some changes then? Because I don't think the Joneses would want this. I don't think they would want to say, yeah, all of you come back. No, I think they would definitely say somebody needs to answer for some of this.
Yeah, I think they try to sell that to the fan base a little bit too.
Yeah.
We're going to shake it up with some. Not everyone can just
Mike's
post.
Not calling the plays, or this guy's gone, or, oh, we changed this. You guys were upset with that position group. Well, we changed the coach. Like, yeah, absolutely. I think that's an effective sell. One of the things that I think we're going to end up with, the other sense you're kind of getting from people is Zimmer will not be back, is the feeling for a lot of people.
Whoa.
But not like, I don't think it would be.
He's the one that fans have wanted back more than McCarthy.
I don't think it would be something where the Cowboys would push him out. I don't think it would be something where Zimmer would go take another job. I think there are a lot of people who just feel like Zim might be a little tired. Like, just, man, this was an exhausting year. This took, you know, you're getting older and it's a lot of work.
He might want to step away?
Yeah. I think he may make that decision and just say, you know what, this is just, it was good to come back to Dallas, have kind of a homecoming, do some things. But after a year of getting a chance to see this, and I think he's been stimulated. In a sense, I think he loves working with Micah. I think that's, if you want to talk about one of the big positives of this year that I did not anticipate, them getting along as well as they have is fantastic. We talked about it this offseason. You had mentioned it. Micah had maturity questions, and Micah has had questions about how much do you buy into what your job is? Because it goes back to the Leighton Vander Esch quote on Hard Knocks, where... When they were on the sideline, he was talking about how he wanted to go after it in the Hall of Fame game. And he goes, I just want to make the play. And Leighton goes, you got to know which play is yours to make, though.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was, Leighton got killed for it at the time. where fans were saying, "Oh, this is, look, see, he doesn't want to go after the ball." It's like, no, Leighton knows his role within the defense. What he's supposed to do, he knows he's going to hang somebody out to dry if he doesn't do his job, and that's exactly what Micah had some trouble understanding. Zimmer gets a lot of credit from people for helping instill that in Micah in a way that, as good of a coach as Dan Quinn was for Micah Parsons, Dan Quinn never got that to Micah. He was never able to get Micah to fully embrace, I'm going to just set the edge here. Ball's not coming my way, but I'm not going to chase the ball. This is what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I'm going to make sure that this is my responsibility. I'm setting the edge. So even though Lamar Jackson's eye candy and he's running over here, like, I got to stay here until the rules say I have to break. And so Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that, and something that I think has made Parsons a better overall player. But let's look at some of the assistant coaches. And the one that I feel like is always, outside of coordinators, the sexiest position, or not sex, the most discussed position, is the offensive line coach.
Yeah.
That people always look at that one, and I think they feel like that's the position coach that has the greatest impact on the unit, because they are so, they're a core group. They feel like they're kind of isolated from everybody else in terms of their responsibilities. And there's so much that distinguishes different coaches in terms of technique and different things like that. So when I just say to you, and I don't think it's as easy as just saying, well, he's the position coach. So anybody who's played well,
yeah,
in his favor. Anybody who's played worse, against him. But
by the way, Jerry infuriated, before you ask the question, he infuriated a lot of people when he talked about, I think this was Friday with KMC, how he got over the skis on the two young kids.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Guyton to replace Tyron Smith and BB to replace Biotish said both have done well, but we paid the price to some degree.
Yeah, said
that it, you made the offensive line too green.
And Jerry, as he often does, put it on his shoulders. He goes, I think I had expected too much out of them. And he said, I think what you see is just, you see the normal progression of a rookie right here.
Yeah.
Basically said, we've been spoiled by plug and play offensive linemen in the past, yes, and that's not the norm. Which, some of that's fair, but also you expect, I think, in some areas to see better progress in certain areas. So if I were to say Mike Solari's work, I think he's given a lot of credit. I think people give him a lot of credit for Brock Hoffman. I think people feel like that's his guy. I think he gets a lot of credit for Cooper Beebe, who has progressed and is playing well now. And I think he gets credit for helping to bring TJ Bass along. Now, if you'll notice, it's all on the interior.
Yeah.
All of those guys are on the interior.
Though I feel like we have not killed Steele as much as I was anticipating this year. We've not criticized him. We're not coming in here killing Terrence as much as last year.
Yeah, and it wasn't great in the first half of the season. I feel like he's gotten so much better in the last couple weeks. Yesterday was not great.
And why do you think that is?
I think he's playing more comfortably within himself. Because I think you're definitely seeing, when you watch him on tape, I think you're seeing subtle technique changes in terms of the way he's using his length, his hands, and it makes me wonder, I think a lot of what we saw, it looks similar to what he was doing in the past, which Joe Philbin was a big Terrence Steele guy. He gets a ton of the credit for Terrence Steele was his guy. That's part of that development was Joe Philbin. I think there have been some who have felt like Mike Solari has stunted some of Steele.
So maybe Terrence like kind of went back to his own techniques.
Yeah, like almost like just settled back into what he was comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so if you look at it and say Solari is credited with Bass, Hoffman, BB, interior, but he needs to answer for
Guyton.
Why is Guyton coming along slowly? Why is a veteran like Chuma Edoga at times not seem to know where his responsibilities are, or different things like that? Why is Terrence Steele seem like he's stunted a little bit or maybe regressed coming back from his injury?
Yeah.
And again, all tackles, all guys on the outside. Austin Richards, a lot of people feel like he plays better when he's inside as opposed to outside. So is there something about Solari's better coaching up interior guys, struggles with tackles? Is there? I think that that's one of the questions. But Solari, just in a vacuum, would you say, I'm going to take the value that I've gotten on how he's brought up these other guys and trust that the tackles are going to improve? Or you can say, I can't ignore how the tackles have had their struggles. I need a new offensive line coach.
I'm torn. Because the outside is what's supposed to be the most important.
Yeah.
I need the left tackle to be number one in terms of the development and how they're coming along. But does Guyton have the improvement or the intangibles within, in terms of the work ethic, the improvement, all the things that the interior offensive linemen have shown? I don't know. I thought you were going to ask me for a grade, and I probably would have said like C+. C or C plus.
I think C is fair because I think you've got equal measures of good and bad that he's contributed. So
I don't know. I would have to know what type of worker Tyler Guyton. I would have to know what type of person he really is. You know what I mean? Versus just blaming Solari. Fake inside opinion I would have. You would know that better.
No, but I mean, I think that it is fair to say that he's credited with some of these guys.
Like, what about look what Rico Dowdle has done?
Yeah. And I don't think anybody...
Like, Rico Dowdle just hit 1,000 yards. Don't I have to give a lot of that credit to the offensive line coach?
So this is not a criticism at all of the offensive line coach or the running back coach. So anybody out there who may be listening, don't take it as such. I don't think that the opinion of a lot of people is that Rico Dowdle's success is attributed to either the running back coach or the offensive line coach. I think they believe that Rico Dowdle's success is... This is kind of who the player that he is. This is more about opportunity, and he's healthier. Like and he's
but he still has to run through the holes created.
Right, but there are a lot of times where you watch it where you go, that doesn't look like that was much, or oh, he's getting hit and he's staying on his feet and a lot of his yards are after contact. And so I think a lot of people just feel like that's the player that he is and he just hasn't been healthy.
And here's Rico yesterday, despite the loss, hitting 1K.
It definitely feels good. Definitely a landmark I wanted to hit, but like you said, not the outcome. Wish it was a different outcome with it, had a fumble, but definitely satisfying getting it, reaching that landmark.
Yeah, and it's something that was important to them. You heard the offensive line talking about it too. They wanted to get him there.
And what's your answer to the Solari question?
I don't think Solari should return.
Why?
Because I think the Guyton thing is the most important factor here. Where how is Guyton coming along? It doesn't look like it's coming along great right now. And I don't think initially, I think he came around, but I don't think initially in the evaluation process he was a big fan of Guyton. And I think he came around to it. Look, I think we've said it directly. If we haven't said it directly, then it's kind of an open secret around the Cowboys. Joe Philbin never wanted Tyler Smith. Joe Philbin did not like Tyler Smith. Didn't think he was a good player. I don't think did anything to help bring him along at all. And so that's why it's dangerous to sometimes see progression or regression and just automatically assign it to the coach.
Yeah.
Because there's no time. Now, one area where I think confidently we can say they deserve credit. If you talk about two guys I think you absolutely should bring back, no matter who the new defensive staff is, if Zimmer's out or whatever else, Jeff Scania and Greg Ellis, your defensive line coaches. Ellis mainly working with the edge rushers. Scania working with the defensive tackles. I think if we were talking about where's an area of this team that's really overperformed this year, it's the defensive line. Mozzie Smith has bounced back after we thought he was teetering on the brink of just being broken.
Yeah.
Oso Odighizuwa has played some of his best football. Chauncey Golston, Carl Lawson has had a resurgence. Those two coaches get a lot of credit when you talk to people. Just like, yeah, those are good coaches that they know how to get the most out of people. Greg Ellis, really quickly, we'll finish with this. Greg Ellis had one of the most interesting interactions I've ever seen, or did one of the most interesting things I've ever seen from an assistant coach earlier this season. It was after Baltimore, I think. And Micah was standing up there doing media. And Micah was, you could tell he was starting to get a little frustrated. He was emotional after the game and he was starting to teeter. I think this was the Baltimore game. Greg Ellis saw the group of reporters around him. Never seen an assistant coach walk over and stand behind there so he could listen to how Micah was talking. And then he heard Micah start teetering a little bit. And he like was like, you guys got to wrap him. Like, he's going to get himself in a hole. Like, didn't say it, but you could tell that's what he was saying. And then he pulled Mike aside, gave him a pep talk. He looks out for those players in a way that I've never seen a coach do before.
Below the belt on a Cowboys Monday after they get blasted by Filthy 41-7 here with Sean Shreve and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Are the Giants still getting their quarterback? And are these coaches about to be fired after this last weekend? Around the rest of the NFL and the NFC East next.